First round of the draft is over, and boy, do we have some storylines. Shedeur Sanders falling out of the first round. Giants get their guy in terms of the number three pick and a quarterback. Patriots, well, they got a tackle. It's what you were going to expect. That's okay. Packers drafting a wide receiver in the first round. The Steelers and the Saints elect not to go with a quarterback. After that, we're going to talk about the biggest reaches in the first round. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Today's Friday, April 25th. The first round of the NFL draft is over. He's CJ. He's Justin Tuck. I'm Chris Kostich. So, first seven picks. Hey, credit to us. Credit to the Rooski boys. First seven picks on us. The only problem is that we got picks two and five wrong in terms of the teams. But that's okay.
You predicted the order, though. And for what it's worth, we did get eight. Because we also predicted Warren. Other team decided to, be stupid.
Yeah. No big surprise. Cam Ward went to the Titans, number one. And then Jaguars and Browns, literally right after Cam Ward had been drafted. The Jaguars and Brown basically just swap spots along with a bunch of other draft picks that were involved in the And the Jags go out and get Travis Hunter. Talk about the Giants in a second, but the Patriots, with all of everything going on in the first three picks, they get their guy, Will Campbell, offensive tackle at that point. And then the Browns get Mason Graham at five. Ashton Jeanne T goes to six, as we mentioned, as we predicted. But the Giants grabbing both Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart. Great pick on the Abdul Carter part. Jackson Dart ended up trading. Who'd they trade with again? It was with the Rams.
Yes.
Trade with the Rams. Got themselves a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Honestly, not a bad move. But.
No. They traded with the Texans.
Texans. That's right. Yeah, it was the Rams trading with. Rams traded with someone else, though, right?
Atlanta. Yeah, the Rams traded with the Falcons, yeah.
Right. So, Jackson Dart. Anyways. So, I think it's a good pick, but as we were just talking right before we started up the show, maybe a bit of a reach here. We're going to talk about some of our biggest reaches, but definitely someone that you could have gotten in the second round. But in terms of the Giants, wasn't a bad first round at all. And plus, now you got a guy in Jackson Dart that you can definitely learn behind Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston for a year, maybe two, who knows, depending on what the trajectory is for the New York Football Giants, which is never really a good one as of recent. But who knows? What are your opinions on the Giants draft day, first round draft, I should say?
So here's the thing. I like Carter. I like the pick. It's a good pick. This basically means Kayvon Thibodeau's career with the Giants is over after this year. I don't think they're going to tag him. They're not picking up his fifth year option. This is the way of saying, hey, I think you should probably update your LinkedIn resume because you're not going to be here in a bit. Or at least you're only here for one more year. But I've said I like Dart. I like his upside. But trading back into the first round for him is not a move that I'm crazy about. As much as I like his upside, I also said I don't, and I said as much as I saw him going in the first round, I also said that I didn't think he should. You know what I mean? He's a project. And you've already stuffed an already crowded QB room. because Russ is the starter. Brian Daboll said that. I don't know if you saw him. Assuming.
Yep. Brian Daboll in a press in a Giants press conference last night did say that.
And then
almost immediately after the pick was made, too.
Mm-hmm. Then I imagine famous Jameis is QB2. Mm-hmm. Dart is QB3, I would think. And I feel like Tommy DeVito is going to be the odd man out. Because what same team, if you only have 53 players or can keep four quarterbacks on the roster, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I don't know, guys. I don't know anymore. Maybe I'm just old, perhaps in the way. But I'm not crazy about the trade-up. If they grabbed him in the second round, I'd say, oh, sure, that's wonderful. But, you know, but don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I guess it's fine.
For me, when I look at the draft and looking how they drafted, I'm not mad at what they did with it. They needed a quarterback because we knew Jameis Winston, as much as we love him, wasn't the long-term option, and neither was Russell Wilson. So I knew they would have to go quarterback eventually, and I'm glad they went up and got a quarterback. I thought it was going to be Shador, but they took Jackson Dart. I'm not mad at them for that because he does have a tremendous upside, but it's like I thought Shador was a little bit better. But they needed a quarterback, and they grabbed a quarterback. So I don't think this overall, the draft that they've had so far is bad, considering that they got Abdul Carter, which was their main guy in the first place. I think that as the floor is pretty damn good, if we're being honest. So I don't think it's bust. Like, I don't think it has the potential to be a bad draft class. But I think the ceiling could be like them drafting Lawrence Taylor and Phil Simms in the same draft. So I think that's the ceiling, and I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle. It all depends on how good Jackson Dart is in the NFL. Thankfully, he won't be starting the first season as a rookie. Thankfully, knock on wood. But in the second year, I think he'll develop more, not make the same mistakes that he was making at Ole Miss, and I think he'll be better for it.
I concur with that. That's for sure. I like Jackson Dart. I mean, I like Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter is an absolute specimen. Jackson Dart's, he's just a man. There's nothing about it. So it'll be interesting to see how they end up playing around with Jackson Dart. Pause. In terms of some other storylines, Steelers and Saints not taking quarterback. I'm going to touch on the Saints real quick because why are we not taking quarterback at 9? I know the class isn't that good. You need something though. You need something better than Spencer Rattler. Because no Derek Carr, you're gonna get the two greatest weeks of your life with Derek Carr. That's it. And then he's hurt, or he just sucks. And you already aren't most likely not having him for the entirety of next season. You need someone other than Spencer Rattler being at the helm. It just doesn't make sense. You guys, touch on the Saints real quick before we go into the Steelers.
I thought Shador Sanders was going to go here at 9 at the latest.
Same.
I don't know why they feel this way. It's either Derek Carr's injury isn't as bad as we think, or they must really believe in Spencer Rattler. For what reason? I don't know. Maybe they believe a lot more in Kellen Winslow's ability for their quarterbacks. Maybe they're just fine. I don't know what it is, but I looked at the Saints. I'm like, they need better quarterback play. You saw what happened to Chris Olave. I thought they needed better. But unfortunately, they decided to go in a different direction. I'm not mad that they took an offensive lineman to help protect their quarterback, to help protect their investment at the quarterback spot. But at the same time, I thought they were going to go quarterback here, and they didn't, and I'm kind of shocked by it. Once again, the Saints, with an opportunity to actually win the NFC South, don't take that opportunity, and I don't know why.
Oh, boy. I guess I don't get it for the Saints. I would feel – so basically the thing with Carr is that he's not going to be ready to start the season. And I feel like if he's still not ready by like week 7 or 8, it's one of those things that they might just shut him down. right? I just want to go up to them and be like, hey, no car? Yeah, no car. Like that. I mean, this, if they don't draft him the second round, because here's the thing, guys. The Saints have a second round pick. The Steelers don't, but we'll touch on that in a bit. Yeah. The New Orleans Saints, I at least think, have a second rounder. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But I'm just glancing over it.
They do.
Okay. Yeah, they're pick 40. So there's a chance they could trade up if the Browns don't grab Shador, which is also possible because Shador is favored to go 33rd overall to the Browns. But or either way, then I don't know. And we gotta also take a look at who the Saints drafted instead, right? They took Kelvin Banks from Texas, who's maybe a tiny bit of a reach at 9. So as a whole, I don't get it. Like Carr's hurt. Spencer Rattler is just there, basically. Not super inspiring. I don't get it. I don't know. That's pretty much it. And Chris, you're muted.
The Kelvin Banks pick, my apologies, is a good pick. Like, when you think of Kelvin Banks, that is a good pick. But when you look at the glaring problem, you would think that that would be their first priority, but that's that. Steelers. So obviously it's fucking stupid that they also didn't try to go quarterback with Shitter or Jackson Dart. Sound like they were really into Jackson Dart. So I would have assumed that Jackson Dart was going to be the guy that was going to go to the Steelers at whatever the hell pick they had, 21. Instead, they went Derek Harmon, defensive tackle from Oregon. So it's going to be another good. I was reading something from Tuck, but I screw it. I'm just going to read it.
Don't read it. No, no.
Never mind.
Thank you.
Where was I going with this? So. You would have thought Jackson Dart, especially because reports were showing that they liked him a lot. So you would have thought he was going to go 21 to the Steelers. They don't. They don't even take Shedeur Sanders. So once you get out of that, that makes you think that Aaron Rodgers is most likely going to the Steelers now. But, like, I just don't know. I just don't, like, when you look at the Steelers depth chart right now, and look at the quarterback room. Who is it? Like, they don't have anyone. Like, their starter is Mason Rudolph. It might as well be nobody. Like, at least Mason Rudolph knows Mike Tomlin's system. That's the only positive thing you have about this. That is the only thing. It's kind of like Jacoby Brissett being back in New England and being the starter while Drake May was sitting. The only positive was that he knew, well, it was ended up being Gerard Mayo, but he knew the Patriots system. I just don't get it. But at that point, it seems more likely that Rodgers is going to go to the Steelers at this point. But who the fuck knows at this rate?
You would hope. But again, he's not signed yet. And since he's not signed, I wouldn't take the risk. But I appreciate the Steelers for gambling. I appreciate it. Take one for the team. But I can't believe they saw Shedeur Sanders, saw him at pick 21 and was like, nah, we'll get a D tackle. I mean, I understand Cam Hayward is up there in age and you want to restock on the D line when you have the opportunity. But you don't have a quarterback on the roster that can win you games consistently. Mason Rudolph is not that guy. We knew that when he first got there. There's a reason why he left. Skylar Thompson is not that guy. There's a reason why Mason Rudolph is projected to be a starter. So if Aaron Rodgers does not sign on the dotted line, you're stuck, because I do not see Shedeur Sanders leaving this, staying in the third round. I don't think he'll be there in the third round. If not, if he's there, it has to be something personal. But as far as I'm aware, you guys just basically drafted a D tackle and kicked your future into the next year, because there's no way you're getting a quarterback of confidence this year. So I guess you're just hoping and praying for something to happen with Aaron Rodgers. If it happens, good. If not, this is your fault.
And I'm happy. No, I was just going to say, so let's just say Shedeur goes second, either to the Browns at 33 or the Saints at, like, what, 40? Let's just say that happens.
Yeah.
Then if you're Pittsburgh, you're screwed. Because here's the thing. Rodgers is just dragging his feet. He wants to drive this on as long as possible. We know this. We've spoken about this many and many and many a time. So if that's the case, I just then what do you do? Because Rodgers has also said he hasn't ruled out retirement. And knowing Rodgers, that would be the thing he would do, because, you know, look at him. That's how he is. He's a man child. So let's just say he does, right? If you're Pittsburgh, then you're praying for Jalen Milroe, which, yeah, great. Okay. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's what you want to do. Look, if it is, then fine. Because I know I've heard before they were kind of smitten with him as a prospect. But still, you know, I'm not crazy about it. And I don't hate the selection of Derek Harmon. He's one of the better DTs in this draft. But I don't know if you're Pittsburgh, hey, you just sit here and say, yeah, sure, you know, we're completely confident. But here's the thing. They are, they're not. I remember I was reading a report, this was like a bit ago, about how there's like this general like sense of unease in the organization because, like, they're basically going into next season with Mason Rudolph as your QB1. I mean, hell, I don't even know if they get to their coveted 500 or slightly above with him as QB1.
I mean, I don't know. They also got to – Mike Tomlin also got to 500 with fucking Kenny Pickett, so anything's possible.
And Duck Hodges. I don't know
yes.
how they do it.
Shout out Duck Hodges. He's married to Lainey Wilson. She's a babe.
He can't be below 500, so he'll win games he absolutely shouldn't. And then he just can't be below 500. He'll get it done one way or another.
Somehow, some way.
I don't know, but yeah, basically. Also, by the way, I don't even know if they're going to sign Rodgers, because I'm sure you've heard players are sounding off on him.
Yeah,
now, like Cam Hayward said, stop dragging your feet. Like, you want to be here or you don't. And there's another one too that said something about that. But yeah, all in all, though, there's just, like, according to Yard Barker, for their Steelers news, there is like a sense of unease there. And if it turns out you somehow have to draft Milroe in round 3 and your QB1's Mason Rudolph, that's not a good look.
Yeah. Yeah, no. If Rodgers wanted to be in Pittsburgh, he would have already signed by now. I think everyone knows that at this point. Because there's no one else that's really knocking on Rodgers' door, unless the Vikings are really certain that they're not that confident on J.J. McCarthy yet, and they decide to go Rodgers. But we do not live in the Matrix just yet. Not just yet. Real quick, back to Travis Hunter. Where would you guys rather live, Cleveland or Jacksonville? This is a debate that me and my buddies were having last night.
If I'm trying to focus on football, Cleveland. If I'm trying to focus on everything else, Florida.
CJ?
This is a bad move for the Browns. Why is Travis Hunter on the board and you trade back. You didn't even get multiple first. I think you got like Jack, like the next year's first from Jacksonville, and like that's it.
Yeah.
Like you didn't even get multiple. Like I just, if I'm the Browns GM Andrew Berry, I'm saying, nah, buddy. That's it. You're going to second overall to draft the best player in the draft. That's going to be at least three.
Yeah.
Pick swap next year's and the year after. That's like the lowest I go. And then they took Mason Graham at five, which I like him, best DT in the class, but it's so anticlimactic. It's just not a sexy pick. I know Adam would yell at me if I say that again, but he's not here. So it's, you know, cool. Good for him.
We all thought that it would have, when the trade happened, that it would have been Ash and GT because the main point you said, CJ, when we were out together watching the draft was that the running back room is only Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong. They haven't signed Nick Chubb back to the team. So no, because you would think that would be the move at that point.
Yep, pretty much. But yeah, for the Jags though, that's a great pick. You now have Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter, and he can play corner. So hey, you killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Tip of the hat to you, Jacksonville.
Yeah. So Jacksonville or Cleveland, which would you live in?
Now that's going to be interesting. Cleveland. No, I'd rather live in Jacksonville.
I'd rather live in, if we're talking about the cities, Jacksonville. But if we're talking, we can go suburbs, Cleveland suburbs, from what I've heard. Pretty sick. So I'd probably
depends on where you are. If you're in like East Cleveland, no, that's no.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. I mean, Jacksonville is a whole other thing. Again, I don't know. You got all those meth heads and the Florida man running around. So I don't know.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Shedeur Sanders falling out of the first round and the Packers getting first round wide receiver. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast. CJ Tuck. I'm Chris Kostich. The fellas are here. Just minus Adam, unfortunately, but...
Not even producing. No, Adam.
Not even producing today. One of the bigger stories in the draft, you can honestly say probably the story right now, because if you look on social media, mostly everyone's talking about it. Shedeur Sanders falling out of the first round. And we ourselves were not very high on Shedeur. We did end up having him getting drafted 9 to the Saints, which of course didn't happen. Our luck actually ended up running out on pick 8 because the Panthers went Tet McMillan, which we believe is a reach in itself, but that's, we're not going to talk about that right now. But you would have thought that Shedeur was going to go 9 to the Saints. All right, doesn't happen. Who else is quarterback needy? We kind of thought that maybe he goes to the Cowboys because why the fuck not? But after that, Their only other option really was going to be the Steelers or the Giants. Steelers at 21, of course, as we were talking about, went defensive tackle with Derek Harmon. And then at that point, you're like, well, that's it. They're falling out of the first round. Giants out of nowhere, trading with the Texans for that 25th overall pick, trading back into the first round. But instead of going with Shedeur, they go with Jackson Dart. Whew. Memes about Shedeur Sanders, incredible. Poor guy tweeted out, "I'm ready for whatever comes my way today." Better believe that tweet blew up. You can better believe that tweet blew up by the time midnight came around. So, in a sense, I could see this coming, but. Like I could see him falling in the first round. I did not see him fall. I did not see this one coming, though. I did not see him falling out of the first round. I would have thought it would end up being it would be in the 20s at that point, where that Steeler Giant range was. But it wasn't. Thoughts from you guys?
I'm so done with this. You know why he fell, right? This was obviously just like this weird, well-coordinated smear campaign. Like, just the mudslinging from the NFL media was insane.
It was.
Like, they hated this kid. We keep hearing terms like spoiled brat to describe him, entitled. And honestly, it's like, oh, an anonymous coaching assistant or anonymous front office executive. I said this before, and I'll say it again. Say it with your chest. Put your name on it. Don't be a coward. It's just, it's so cowardly. It's soft. It's like, oh, an anonymous report says something controversial. I'm like, no. State your source. Actually tell us who's saying this. Because these analysts, these coaches, these front office folk, they say the wildest things and then hide behind anonymity. It's like, no. When it's like this serious, yeah, no. Put your name on it. I want to know who you are. And if you're right, then fine. But like, I'm so tired of hearing, oh, anonymous. Like, no. Like, we got to. Now, there's got to be some accountability here, because like, and even still, once again, it's just this. Like I said, it was literally just a big smear campaign from start to finish. Like, as soon as he declared, they just started saying, oh, no, Ward is clearly better, even though, you know, he can't beat ranked teams. His arm strength doesn't do jack beyond 45 yards. He's a bad locker room guy, and he quit on his team. Sure, yeah, no, he's first overall. Oh, Jack's a dart. Did you know he actually is a case to be the best quarterback? Sure, he's the rawest of the three. And sure, he's, you know, he's got upside, but sure, I mean, he didn't do anything with Ole Miss, but hey, come on, it's Jackson Dart. Like, I just, I don't know. And you know what? You know why people don't like Shador? It's because of Deion. And look, I'm going to expose my bias here. I like Deion. I do. I think he's a good coach. I think he's got a lot of room to improve, and I think he will. I think he's a good father. You know, he cares deeply about his kids. He cares deeply about everybody at Colorado. You know, he wants to make them into good men. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just like, oh, he's a big personality and I don't like it. It's like, oh, come on. Like, really? Just come on. Like, we keep hearing this argument of, well, if his last name wasn't Sanders, he'd be a fourth round pick. And I'd say, counterpoint, if his last name wasn't Sanders, you'd think he's the best QB in the class. Literally, his last name is not the reason why people like him. It's why people hate him.
I would counterpoint. I would say that the only people that was really pushing for him was ESPN.
Other than that, it's like nobody else liked him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go in the first round. I thought the lowest he would go with Saints at 9 because they need a quarterback, because I did not see him getting all the way to 21 where the Steelers were. I just didn't see it happening. For some reason, for a guy who threw over 4,000 yards and 37 touchdowns to only 10 interceptions, drops out of the first round. If you told me anything else, but if you told me those were his stats and you just missed the last name, you would think he's a first-round pick. But instead, he goes out of the first round all because he's a Sanders, and I guess because of his personality. Has nothing to do with his on-field play. Does he run into a lot of sacks? Yes, but I believe that has more to do with what he was working with as far as the Colorado O-line than anything. If he has a better O-line, I don't think he runs into a lot of the sacks. He just wants to escape pressure. But I do not believe he is a second-round quarterback. He is a first-round quarterback to me all day long. I don't understand how Jackson Dart got ahead of him. I understand why Cam Ward went number one overall, but Shador should have been the second quarterback taken off the board. And for people to just allow him to go to the second round without even so much as thinking about it is insane to me. I don't understand how he managed to fall all the way this far, regardless of personality issues. if the play speaks for itself, the play speaks for itself. I don't think it's just personality, because if it was, he'd go in the first round because Baker Mayfield went in the first round and he had issues. So I don't know what it is. I don't get it. I don't understand it. He should be in the first round. And the fact he's in the second round is ridiculous to me.
Yeah. No, I think I would agree. When you saw, there was even like a couple clips where he had of his pre-draft interviews, and it wasn't even that bad. Like, thought it was good answers. But
yeah, I mean, I don't understand the whole personality thing. In Colorado, his own teammates regarded him as like this great locker room guy, a hard worker and a leader. So this whole thing about personality issues, like, I've never seen it. Usually you would have seen it already in college, but I don't get it from him. I don't.
Also a guy that trains Tom Brady. So you know that he has the work ethic for it. I mean, yeah, we're definitely ones that have shit on Shedeur Sanders, but we're also can realize that this is a little ridiculous. Shedeur Sanders dropping so far in the draft, you'd think he had legal issues, yet all he did was a flex a watch during wins, LMAO. That was a tweet that I just saw. Skip Bayless believes Tennessee just made a monumental mistake not taking Shedeur Sanders, and he believes this so much he put the entire tweet in all caps. Yeah. So that, I think that's a good way to put a bow on our thoughts about the Shedeur Sanders situation. Yeah. Moving on, Packers going with a wide receiver in the first round, Texas receiver Matthew Golden. Pretty heavy wide receiver room now down in Green Bay. Obviously, Matthew Golden was a very highly regarded receiver. So think about their wide receiver room now. It's Romeo Dubs, Christian Watson, and Jalen Reed, basically your main three guys. And Matthew Golden is now going to be right in the middle of that. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're punching the freaking air right now. You're punching air. Mm-hmm. You never got a first-round receiver.
Yeah, must be nice.
Yeah. Zach, you know all too well about it.
Yeah. I know about drafting first-round wide receivers. They usually don't pan out. I'm happy Zay Flowers has, but I'm not used to that feeling. So I understand it. My thing, I think in their mind, sometimes when I look at the Packers wide receivers, injuries can also be a concern with them, like Christian Watson and his injury concerns. So I think if I look at it like that and they believe that they don't see all of them being healthy at the same time, then I understand it. Outside of that, it's a very cramped wide receiver room. You have to figure out who's the 1, 2, 3, and now 4. Just when we saw that last season, that's going to be interesting to see. I wonder who Jordan Love will find chemistry with. If he'll find it in Matthew Golden, good. Will he? I just want to see how this will interact all together. It's a solid pick, but I think they had more pressing issues elsewhere, and I think they should have addressed those needs better. I think the defense needed more like notice than what it's getting. So maybe they'll address it in the second round with like a D tackle or a corner, but I'm not sure how I feel about Matthew Golden yet. I think if it's out of necessity due to injury, I understand, but outside of that, I don't get it.
CJ?
This is by far the most crowded wide receiver room in the league, because you're adding Matthew Golden, who I think is a very good prospect, a little raw, but still a good prospect, to a room with Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs, and Jaden Reed. A room where the wide receiver one varies week to week. And my point is, somebody's the odd man out. Like, you don't just roll out in a four receiver set every play, which they can, but I don't think it'd be conducive to any sort of long-term success. So overall, it's who's it going to be? Like, who's the odd man out? And I know some people have said, well, actually, it's probably Golden. You know, he's going to be four, and you know, and they're just going to say, all right, well, you're going to start number four, you know, at the bottom, earn your stripes, which I have an issue with that mindset for first and even second, kind of ish, not quite third round picks, where you don't just draft a kid and bury him on the depth chart and say, all right, good luck. No, like, you got to get their reps in. That's why you took them in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
I think that you will still see Matthew Golden. I mean, it's not like they're going to run out the same three receivers every single play and whatnot. Matthew Golden's still going to get his reps. It's going to end up depending on what Matt LaFleur deems as necessary as how many reps he's going to end up getting, though. Matt LaFleur is a good coach, so I think that he'll be able to figure that out pretty effectively for Matthew Golden.
Yeah, I do think, though, based on skill alone, I think Golden's your number one. If I had to take a wild stab at it, I think Romeo Dubs is the odd man out.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to touch on about this before we head to another break?
That's it. I'm good right now. I mean,
I'm not sure if this really moves me as far as like the NFC North is concerned. I'm not sure if this moves
yeah.
me. No,
I
not really.
Honestly, fuck a break. Let's just go right into biggest reaches from the draft. I think the earliest one that we could think of is maybe Colston Loveland, tight end from Michigan. Not saying that he's a bad player, but it was interesting that he was what?
I said, but at 10?
I'm saying
in over Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I was saying in the sense that he was in over Tyler Warren.
And by the way, people, don't give me that nonsense about, but he's a scheme fit. No, I don't care. I think scheme fit's overrated. You make the guy fit. That's how it is.
That's not how that works.
Look, it could very well be. But still, like, or you can adjust your scheme.
It depends on the player. You can't just adjust them to, like, you can't ask a 3-4 to play a 4-3. It messes everything up from a
schematic. No, okay, but you can adjust your scheme is what I'm saying. Like, if scheme fit is going to prevent you from drafting someone who's elite, then maybe you're just not that good of a coach if you can't accommodate.
You're asking you are asking a coach from changing their scheme the way
they not their entire scheme. My point is you can accommodate, you can do these things. Coaches do it all the time. You shouldn't have to settle for someone who's just not as good, is my point. And is it really that much to act? I mean, I say to a coach, hey, I know this guy does 100% fit our scheme, but he's leaps and bounds better than the next, like he's on a different planet. Please don't settle for less. Oh, yeah. How terrible of me. Also, by the way, Tet McMillan was a weird pick at 8.
Yeah. 9, you mean, but yeah.
No, 8. I'm looking at it right now.
8. That I was thinking the Saints for some reason.
Oh, it's cool.
It was a reach as well, but
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, actually, the Banks thing, was it a reach? Yes, but I understand. I'm sure you all saw Ryan Ramczyk retired because he flat out, he just did not recover from that knee injury.
Yep.
Like, he just didn't recover. The rumors would be career ending after that setback. I get it. Also, Trevor Penning, their left tackle, is on the last year of his deal, and flat out, he has not been that good.
No, he has not. He has not at all.
Yeah, I don't think they picked up his fifth year option. Like, I think they're just going to let him walk. So, yeah, so I get it. Is it a reach? Yeah, but I'm a little nicer to that one because I get it. Meanwhile, with Loveland, you don't even need a tight end. You have Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should be a good tight end duo, though. I mean, if Loveland does pan out, I mean, that could be fun to have for the Ben Johnson offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I get that. I do have some other thoughts on reaches, though.
Yeah, I was going to throw one out there and see what
you're going to go for.
Gray Zabel to the Seahawks at 18.
That's an interesting one.
We didn't even have him going first round. Zabel, why?
I didn't know he existed.
Why? Here's the thing. Seahawks, you need pass rush and you need wide receivers.
Yeah.
Emeka Egbuka was on the board. Matthew Golden was on the board. And look, Zabel's a guard, right? Donovan Jackson was on the board, but then again, he went to 24 at the Vikings. And by the way, he was also a reach. Yeah. James Pierce was on the board if you want to go pass rush. You know, he was also there. Mike Green was on the board. Donovan Aziraku was on the board. Like, there were, you had so many ways to go about this, and you did this. For shame.
Maybe. I don't agree with this thing, but would you think it's a reach for Jacksonville to go all the way up to 2 to get Travis Hunter? It's an understandable reach, but...
No, Hunter's the best player in the draft. That's not a reach.
I agree. And if they do it right, they think they're getting a 2-for-1 with them. So
yes.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying I agree.
And it gets worse as far as reaches go. The Miami Dolphins took defensive tackle Kenneth Grant at 13. Look, I think Grant's a fine prospect. I had him going late in the first. Remember, we had him going to the Lions at 28. But you had Derek Harmon and Walter Nolan still on the board, and you just said, today I shall go with Kenneth Grant. Like, this is why nobody takes Greer or McDaniel seriously. Like, I think Grant can be fine, but at 13, if he's really the best on your board, then just trade back. Not to mention, you're about to trade Jalen Ramsey. Maybe a corner would have been nice there. You know, Will Johnson is still on the board. Let's maybe get Will Johnson. Jermaine Barron's on the board. Oh, here's a bright idea. You need a tackle. Tua's brains have the consistency of mashed potatoes, and you just lost your left tackle in Armstead to retirement. So what do you do in your finite wisdom? You say, nah, defensive tackle, that's the way to go. Like, did you mean to say offensive and defensive came out? Like what happened? Like, why did you do that? I mean, there were other tackles on the board. Connerly might have been a reach, but still. Josh Simmons, Ariante Ersery, something. You had options, but instead you said, nah, Kenneth Grant.
I get why they went Kenneth Grant. If the comparison to him, I'm not saying I agree, but if the comparison where they think he'll be is like Haloti Ngata, which is quite frankly one of the best D tackles in the league.
He's retired. Like, he's not in the league anymore. But
yeah. No, I mean like when he was playing at his best.
Yeah.
If that's the comparison to like a Haloti Ngata, someone that can take a double and still make a play, I get it why they would try to take him at 13. I wouldn't. I think they have more pressing matters like at corner if they do trade Ramsey. I still believe, even though it's a hot take, they should have taken a quarterback just so their season isn't ruined.
Hey, you might have a point, but there are two other reaches, though, Chris, may I, that I
yes, take away.
Want to touch on. First, 26 overall, the Atlanta Falcons trade with the LA Rams to go to 26 and grab James Pierce Jr., edge rusher from Tennessee. I like Pierce. I think he's a first-round pick. This, in and of itself, isn't a reach. It's more about... See, the thing is, when you grab draft picks, you also have to, or grade them, you have to consider what you traded up, right? So that was 26, right? The Falcons gave up next year's first-round pick. And it is GM 101. You never give up your next year's first-round pick to move up into the bottom half of the first round. That is malpractice. But there's that. I mean, as a whole, I don't have an issue with Pierce. I have an issue with them giving up, you know, next year's first. And then Tug is going to make you happy. 17 Cincinnati Bengals grad defensive lineman Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M. He's not ready. He's raw. Pause. You know, he's too raw. He's the production just isn't what you wanted. It's kind of like Trayvon Walker, where he's a big physical freak, you know, like an insane athlete, and that's what you are. You want, but the reason I'm not bullish on him was because if you recall, we had him going to the Ravens.
Yeah.
And I like him in John Harbaugh's system. I do not like him with Zach Taylor, and I do not think Zach Taylor can develop him. And even still, you know where the Ravens were picking, Tuck does, 27. He went 10 spots earlier than he should have.
That's, yeah. I think you guys touched on everyone. The only one I think might be kind of a reach is Harrison at 30 to the Commanders, the Kentucky cornerback.
Oh, that was the Bills.
Oh, he went to the Bills?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. My fault. That one was a reach because I thought there were other cornerbacks better than him, but we'll see.
Couple of picks that I liked was Josh Connerly going to Washington. Good job for the Commanders, beefing up the O-line. And Buccaneers getting Amika Ogbuka, wide receiver from Ohio State. That's going to be that's a fun wide receiver room right there. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Sterling Shepard, Jalen McMillan, along with Ogbuka, of course. It's going to be fun to watch. Anything else?
Nah, not. I don't think there were really like a lot of reaches. I think we already covered the ones we thought were reaches.
Yeah. I feel like
really it.
I feel like we covered everything on that. But that is all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Anything else you guys want to add before we close the show?
No, pretty much.
The only thing is, do you really think it's more crowded than Chicago's wide receiver room? Because they have Rome and DJ and Keenan Allen.
I thought Keenan Allen was...
He's a free agent. He's not there anymore.
Fair enough.
Wait, are you saying like more crowded than...
yeah, it's more crowded than Green Bay or Tampa. But if he's not there anymore, then yeah, I'm not.
Wait, are you saying Green Bay or Tampa's?
Green Bay's.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Tampa's, because Tampa, you could make an argument that could be crowded, but
when Chris Godwin is healthy, I could make that argument, but he's not.
Yeah, going to be a lot of mouths to feed though, because also add in like Kate Otten as well. But
yeah,
anyways, but that'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to this Friday edition of the Fumble Risky Podcast. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRisky_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, you see Jay Medeiros, he's Justin Tucker, I'm Chris Kostich, and thank you for tuning in to all of our draft coverage pretty much in the last month up to today. And we will see you on Tuesday. Over and out.
See you.